Have you ever pushed a door that should be pulled? Struggled with a shower control that seems designed by sadists? You're not alone, and it's not your fault. When people struggle with objects, blame the design, not the user. This revolutionary perspective transformed our relationship with everyday things. Before this insight, people blamed themselves when they couldn't figure out how to operate a device. Now we question the design instead. This shift in thinking has influenced everything from smartphone interfaces to kitchen appliances, empowering ordinary people to demand better from the products they use every day. The frustration with poorly designed objects stems from a fundamental disconnect between how things look and how they work. When form doesn't follow function, confusion inevitably follows. Good design answers two basic questions without words or trial and error. How does this object move, and how should I operate it? When these questions remain unanswered, we find ourselves trapped between glass doors in a post office, unable to determine which side to push because all visual cues have been hidden in pursuit of aesthetic purity. Objects communicate their purpose through what designers call affordances, perceived and actual properties that suggest how things could be used. A chair affords sitting. Glass affords seeing through and breaking. Wood affords solidity and carving. When British Rail installed passenger shelters, they faced a revealing dilemma. Glass shelters were smashed by vandals, while wooden ones were carved instead. Each material spoke a different language of possibility. These affordances provide clues to operation. Plates are for pushing, knobs for turning, slots for inserting things. When designers leverage these natural affordances, users know what to do just by looking. No instructions required. Complex things may need explanation, but simple things shouldn't. When everyday objects need instruction manuals, the design has failed. Consider how this plays out in real life. A well-designed door handle shape tells you not only where to grasp it, but how to operate it. The ribbing on a pen subtly guides your fingers to the optimal writing position. The shape of a light switch suggests whether to push or flip it. These aren't arbitrary choices. They're communications between object and user, creating an intuitive dialogue that requires no conscious translation. We understand the world through mental models, internal representations that help us predict behavior. Good models let us anticipate outcomes accurately, even with unfamiliar objects. Consider a tandem bicycle with the rear rider's pedals connected to the front wheel. You instantly know it won't work because you can mentally simulate the steering conflicts. Scissors are intuitive because their mechanics are visible and relationships clear. The direct connection between handles and blades shows immediate cause and effect. Digital watches with unlabeled buttons offer no such clarity. Users must memorize arbitrary sequences, leading to frustration. People form mental models through experience and interaction, based on a device's visible structure. When this structure is unclear, people develop folk theories, like believing a thermostat heats faster at maximum settings when it's simply an on-off switch. Everyone creates these explanatory models, especially when designs provide no operational guidance. Every interaction follows seven stages: goal formation, intention, action specification, execution, perception, interpretation, and evaluation. This process reveals two key gaps where design often falls short. The gulf of execution is the gap between our intentions and available actions. It measures how easily we can translate goals into system operations. Early microwave ovens exemplified a wide gulf, requiring complex sequences of inputs. Modern ones bridge this gap with preset buttons and smart sensors that simplify cooking. The gulf of evaluation reflects how much effort users need to understand a system's state and results. Systems with clear, accessible feedback that aligns with user expectations minimize this gulf. Compare old digital thermostats showing only current temperature to modern smart ones displaying intuitive visual feedback about trends and settings. These gulfs explain our struggles with everyday interfaces. Good design bridges them through visibility of important information, clear conceptual models, intuitive control mappings, and continuous feedback about system status.
Knowledge can be distributed between mind and environment. Some actions must be memorized, like putting a car in reverse to remove the key, while others can be discovered through interaction. The QWERTY keyboard exemplifies internalized knowledge, initially unintuitive, but enabling efficient use once learned. We constantly balance what to memorize versus reference externally. People often perform tasks smoothly, yet struggle to explain them, like navigating familiar routes or operating a manual transmission. While external knowledge works best with natural relationships between information and actions, like push bars on doors, internal knowledge enables faster performance, as seen in expert users employing keyboard shortcuts. Natural mappings reduce memory requirements by leveraging spatial relationships. For example, stove controls arranged in the same pattern as burners eliminate the need to memorize 24 possible relationships. This distribution between internal and external knowledge helps us function effectively despite limited memory capacity. While humans naturally correct language errors, like stumbling over words or mid-sentence pauses, artificial devices lack this tolerance, where a single wrong button can cause chaos. Errors come in two forms: slips, automatic behavior gone wrong, and mistakes, conscious deliberations gone wrong. Slips are more common in everyday life, like unbuckling your watch instead of your seatbelt, and typically occur during skilled behaviors when attention is divided. Good design prevents slips and enables correction. Computer confirmation prompts often fail because they appear after users commit to an action. A better approach eliminates irreversible actions entirely, like moving deleted files to temporary storage for recovery. Designers should view errors as approximations of correct action, not failures. Systems should accommodate human fallibility through forcing functions, reversible actions, and clear feedback about system state, creating resilient systems that work with human psychology rather than against it. The ultimate goal of design is to improve quality of life by creating objects that work with human psychology. Good design makes operations obvious, exploits natural constraints, and anticipates inevitable errors. Technology follows a U-shaped complexity curve. New technologies start complex, become simpler as they mature, then grow complicated again as manufacturers add features. While modern devices offer unprecedented capabilities, they often become too complex. Consider how a contemporary car dashboard can overwhelm drivers with options. The tools we create shape both how we work and how we view ourselves. Writing tools illustrate this evolution. From deliberate quill and ink compositions to keyboards that match thought speed, each advancement has transformed written expression. Well-designed objects feel like natural extensions of ourselves, enabling focus on goals rather than tool operation. This is human-centered design's promise, making tools fade from conscious attention so we can fully engage with the world they help create.